stronger is a very important principle, and I think that's going to apply to them, and I expect that they will continue to be this way and stay strong, as we will do the same wherever we are, and support them, stay strong, notwithstanding the barrage of abuse that we're getting from our own authorities.
All right, and on that note, I thank both of you for being with me, but we're out of time. Kim Sharif, Yemeni activist and lawyer out of London, Zafar Bangash, director of Institute of Contemporary Islamic Thought out of Toronto. And thank you for staying with us for another Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Hope to see you right here next time. Goodbye.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily via the internet address www.parstoday.com/en. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Intelsat 902, and Eutelsat satellite, as well as via internet. You can also listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for more details. Here we enlighten you with ayahs 261 and 262 from the Surah Baqarah, recited by Ali Parhiskar.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Mathalu alladhina yunfiquna amwalahum fi sabilillahi kamathali habbatin anbatat sab'a sanabil kamathali habbatin anbatat سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة مئة حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة مئة حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون صدق الله العلي العظيم.
In the name of God, the most gracious, the most compassionate. The parable of those who spend their property in the way of Allah is as the parable of the grain growing 7 years, with 100 grains in every ear. And Allah multiplies for whom He pleases, and Allah is ample giving, knowing. As for those who spend their property in the way of Allah, then do not follow what they have spent with reproach or injury. They shall have their reward from their Lord, and they shall have no fear, nor shall they grieve.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The headlines, the head of UNRWA says more children have been killed during Israel's genocide in Gaza than in over 4 years of conflict around the world. About 100 European academics condemn Israel's genocide in Gaza, saying the regime is systematically erasing the territory's education system. And a group of human rights NGOs are filing a lawsuit against Denmark to force the country to end its arms exports to Israel amid the Gaza genocide. Hello everyone. In our top story, unrelenting Israeli airstrikes continue to target Palestinians fasting in the holy month of Ramadan as hopes fade for a ceasefire in Gaza. The regime's latest airstrikes have claimed 11 Palestinian lives in the central city of Deir al-Bala. Local reports say Israeli shelling there continues up to this very moment. To the north, the Jabalia refugee camp and its vicinity remain key targets. This as the Gaza Health Ministry says aid reaching the north is insufficient, while widespread hunger prevails in the area. And now moving to the south, the entire city of Khan Yunis continues to witness daily shelling as Israeli forces have blown up a number of residential areas there. According to the Gaza Media Office, over 400 Palestinians have been killed while waiting in line for life-saving aid since March 1st. The Palestinian death toll since October 7th now stands at nearly 31,200, mostly women and children. And Qatar, which has tried to mediate between Israel and Hamas, says the two sides are not close to a ceasefire deal in Gaza.
The situation is very complicated on the ground. We are not near a deal, meaning that we are not seeing both sides converging on a language that can resolve the current disagreements over the implementation of the deal. But we remain hopeful, and we continue pushing for a deal to happen in the near future.
The Qatari official said potential deal requires an end to Israel's bloodshed in Gaza, as well as continuous flow of humanitarian aid into the devastated strip. The announcement comes as months of talks involving the U.S., Qatar, and Egypt have failed to bring Israeli genocide to an end. Hamas has blamed Israel for failure to reach an agreement, saying the regime is not serious about a deal and is just buying time. The resistance movement also said that it's shown great flexibility in talks, but will not settle for anything less than full cessation of Israeli aggression and withdrawal of all occupation forces from Gaza. The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, in a message on the occasion of the holy month of Ramadan, has called for immediate ceasefire in Gaza to honor the spirit of this month.
Today marks the start of the holy month of Ramadan, a period when Muslims around the world celebrate and spread the values of peace, reconciliation, and solidarity. Yet, even though Ramadan has begun, the killing, bombing, and bloodshed continue in Gaza. My strongest appeal today is to honor the spirit of Ramadan by silencing the guns and removing all obstacles to ensure the delivery of life-saving aid at the speed and massive scale required.
Around 100 leading European academics have slammed what they call Israel's systematic annihilation of the education system in Gaza. Now, scholars have signed a protest petition formulated by the Euromed Human Rights Monitor. According to official reports, 70% of Strip's universities have been completely demolished. Also, the Palestinian Ministry of Education says around 4,300 students have been killed and thousands injured due to ongoing Israeli airstrikes. All this has been documented in this petition. The written appeal stresses such attacks on civilian objects constitutes grave breach of international law and falls under the definition of genocide. It also called for a boycott of Israeli academic institutions supporting Palestinian or occupation of Palestine. Over 180 British academics have also recently signed a separate petition denouncing Israeli onslaught on Gaza, specifically targeting academics and students. Now, the UN says the number of Palestinian children killed during the first 4 months of the Israeli onslaught on Gaza has topped all those killed in over 4 years of conflicts throughout the world. Head of the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA, made the remark in a post on his X account. Philippe Lazzarini said the UN figures show around 12,200 children have been killed in conflicts worldwide between 2019 and 2022. This while, according to the Gaza Health Ministry, more than 12,300 Palestinian children have been slaughtered since early October. The UNRWA chief has also said what's going on in Gaza is a war on children, their childhood, and their future. A group of the world's most prominent human rights groups plan to sue the Danish government for exports of arms to Israel amid regime's ongoing onslaught against Gazans. The group has cited concerns that exported weapons are being used to commit serious crimes against Palestinians. According to the statement, the case will be filed against Denmark's Ministry of Foreign Affairs and National Police, which are in charge of approving the country's sales of military equipment. Meanwhile, the legal firm representing the NGOs said it will bring the case to a Copenhagen District Court within the next 3 weeks. Based on the UN Arms Trade Treaty, countries must ensure that exports of arms and military equipment are not in violation of international law. Back in January, the International Court of Justice concluded Israel's actions in Gaza could amount to genocide. And now over to the occupied West Bank, where two more Palestinians have been killed by regime forces at a military checkpoint northwest of Al-Quds. The Palestinian Red Crescent said victims are 16 and 23 years old. These fatalities bring the number of Palestinians killed in the West Bank on Tuesday to 3. Earlier, a 13-year-old Palestinian boy was killed by Israeli forces in the Shuafat refugee camp. A video circulating online shows the moment the child was directly hit by an Israeli sniper. You can see there Israel's far-right security minister, Itamar Ben-Gvir, hailed the Israeli sniper who shot dead the young teenager there. Israel's carried out raids in the occupied West Bank almost on a daily basis since the regime began its onslaught on Gaza in early October. Acts of aggression have left over 400 Palestinians dead in the occupied West Bank. The Israeli regime has carried out a series of new airstrikes on Lebanon, triggering retaliatory rocket attacks from the Hezbollah resistance movement against the occupied territories. According to Lebanese officials, Israeli airstrikes hit eastern city of Baalbek and its vicinity. Some of the airstrikes targeted area near Taraya, a city 20 kilometers west of Baalbek. This is the first time Israel's pounded eastern Lebanon since eruption of hostilities between the regime and Hezbollah. In response, Hezbollah fired over 100 rockets toward Israeli positions in the occupied Golan Heights and northern occupied Palestine. Hezbollah said it will continue attacking Israeli targets until the regime stops its campaign of genocide in Gaza. But the Israeli military has recently carried out aerial raids even on residential areas in Lebanon. And joining us for an update earlier was our Beirut correspondent, Mariam Saleh.
They do target Baalbek and eastern Lebanon in the vicinity of the cities of Taraya and Baalbek itself. We know that there was total destruction of the buildings that were targeted, and one person has been killed. Previous time, also, it was more of an open area that was targeted the previous time, like agricultural lands. There was some sort of a residence there, but that also led to the killing of two Hezbollah members. And now with this in place, it seems that Hezbollah has basically become impatient with the Israelis' presumptuousness when it comes to how they are targeting Lebanon. The fact that they're trying to put a lot of pressure on the resistance and on Lebanon itself, with the fact that you do have some opposition from Hezbollah's political foes when it comes to Hezbollah's supportive front for the resistance inside Gaza and for the people of Gaza. And so it seemed that this is why Hezbollah had, in retaliation, launched some, we're talking about more than 50 rockets that were witnessed or that were reported in some areas. The Israelis are talking about more than 100 rockets on two different rounds. A group of rockets was against the Galilee region. Another salvo was against in the Golan Heights. And it seemed that many of them landed and struck their targets. And how that will play out also is another surprise. And the number of rockets that Hezbollah is showing day by day, seemingly increasing and targeting areas that are further off. Yesterday, for example, they targeted areas in the Golan Heights more and more. And so it seemed that for Hezbollah, they are basically unifying the land when it comes to how they target and what they target.
Leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says resistance in Palestine will eventually bring Israel to its knees. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei made the remark during a meeting with a distinguished Iranian Quran reciters. He said resistance is still standing strong after months of heavy fighting. Ayatollah Khamenei also called for an end to any assistance to Israel by some Muslim countries. He said those governments helping Israel are committing crimes and will be punished for that treason. The Islamic movement in Nigeria has held a protest against the massacre of Palestinians in Gaza. Protesters marched on the U.S. Embassy in the capital, Abuja, and staged a sit-in. Danjuma Abdullahi has your story.
On the first day of the holy month of Ramadan in Nigeria, the Islamic movement held a rally through the streets of the capital, Abuja, in a peaceful protest against the massacre of innocent civilians in Gaza. The protest march took the demonstrators to the gate of the United States Embassy, where they sat down and submitted a letter of protest condemning the Israeli genocide in Gaza and U.S. involvement in the killing of innocent Palestinians.
America is one of the major party in this killing of innocent female and children in Gaza. Since October 7th to date, they have killed more than 31,000 innocent people, majorly female and children in Gaza.
The demonstrators blame the United States and British governments for using their influence to block a UN resolution calling for a ceasefire. They said every decent government has condemned the Israeli terror attacks on the Palestinians, but the U.S. government has continued to support the mass murder of innocent Palestinians. The demonstrators burned the U.S. and Israeli flags as they slammed Tel Aviv's regime impunity and the silence of the international community. Many Muslims in Nigeria believe that Israel's continuous killing of Palestinians in Gaza on the eve of the holy month of Ramadan is a clear proof of the regime's disrespect for Islamic sanctities. The protesters here are urging world leaders to pressure Israel to end the massacre in Gaza. Anjum Abdullahi, Abuja.
Millions of Muslims in Pakistan once again unite to express solidarity with the oppressed people of Gaza. Pakistanis have pledged to dedicate this year's sacred month of Ramadan to Palestinians who continue to endure unimaginable hardship and dire circumstances inflicted by the Israeli regime. Our correspondent Nasir Kazmi brings us more from Islamabad.
As the crescent moon marks the beginning of the Muslims' holy month of Ramadan, millions across Pakistan have declared their intention to dedicate this month to the oppressed people of Gaza. Among those joining in this noble cause are Abdullah Khalid and his family. Recognizing the sufferings of the Palestinian brothers and sisters in Gaza, Abdullah and his wife Majibin are choosing to donate their money this Ramadan to the innocent people of Gaza instead of indulging in lavish feasts and excessive spending.
We are dedicating this month of Ramadan to our brothers and sisters in Gaza who are facing so many atrocities. And when I imagine that my brothers and sisters are having their suhoor and iftar with all the bombings and all the sirens of ambulances, it gives me goosebumps.
We as a family can, alhamdulillah, afford enough. But this Ramadan, we have decided to make things very simple, very basic, as much as we can, so that we can, save more money and give more charity to the people of Gaza.
Charitable organizations and grassroots initiatives have launched campaigns to raise funds and collect essential supplies for Gaza's residents. Pakistanis are mobilizing on a large scale, organizing food drives, providing medical aid, and boycotting pro-Israeli products in order to support men, women, and children in Palestine.
Every McDonald's meals that you consume, the dollars are going to buy more ammunition to kill our children. People don't realize it. People don't realize that the Israeli army is getting Happy Meals every day for free. It's ridiculous.
Throughout the country, mosques and community centers are organizing special prayer sessions dedicated to the well-being and liberation of Gaza.
Through their decision to prioritize the cause of Gaza during Ramadan, Pakistanis are demonstrating the true essence of the Islamic principles of compassion, justice, and charity. This pledge indicates their commitment to turning religious teachings into practical acts of compassion and support for the oppressed and those in need. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
Chinese and Russian vessels have come to Iran's territorial waters for joint maritime exercises in the northern Indian Ocean. Drills will continue until Friday, with representatives from several other countries also participating as observer states. Here's a report.
Russian Navy warship, China Navy warship. This is Iranian Navy warship 235, Italian Channel 16. Do you read me? Over.
The Maritime Security Belt 2024 has officially kicked off, with Russian and Chinese vessels entering Iran's territorial waters south of the country on Tuesday. The naval and airborne units of Iran's army and the IRGC, along with their Chinese and Russian counterparts, will participate in various operations during this exercise. Naval delegations from Azerbaijan, Pakistan, Kazakhstan, Oman, and South Africa have also taken part as observer states. At the first stage of the drill, the naval officers of the three countries, as well as the observer states, reviewed different phases of the exercise on maps and held tactical briefings. Later, the naval commanders of Iran, Russia, and China held a joint presser. The Iranian Navy's deputy commander said the main aim of the joint exercise is to help safeguard security in the northern part of the Indian Ocean.
Upholding peace and security in the north of Indian Ocean and having a specialized cooperation in combating piracy and terrorism in our region are among the main goals of this exercise. We are constantly working to improve this cooperation.
Meanwhile, Chinese and Russian Navy commanders said the joint exercise further demonstrates the preparedness of the participating countries to maintain security while also deepening their practical cooperation. 2024 is the fifth consecutive year that the Islamic Republic of Iran's Navy is hosting countries participating in the Maritime Security Belt drills in the northern Indian Ocean region.
This year's naval drills have kicked off under the motto "Together for Peace and Security," with participating countries highlighting the importance of jointly safeguarding regional security. Mahdi Abbasian, Konarak.
Thanks for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day He appointed for a rising. To Thee belongs praise, for Thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst Thou willed, Thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off. and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to Thee belongs praise, for Thou created, then proportioned, and ordained and decreed, and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate Thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for Thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to Thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure, and provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to Thee, to be joyful in worshipping Thee, to be desirous of Thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me Thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom Thou wilt.
Ayahs and 30 days. In the name of God, the All Compassionate, the All Merciful, Salam and welcome to the program. A monotheist person not only reflects on the Quran, but also tries to explain the ayahs of this heavenly scripture to others and make them familiar with its teachings. Explicating the Quranic teachings, first of all, was the duty of the Prophet and his infallible successors. Every faithful too, according to the extent that they had learned from the Ahlul Bayt, embarked on this heavenly duty. So, the ulama, that is the Muslim scholars, took over this duty after the occultation of the 12th infallible successor of the Prophet, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, and have seriously continued this job till the present day. Today, this duty has become highly important due to the broad assault of enemies against the beliefs of Islam and humanity. In the second episode of Ramadan special series, we are going to explain Ayah 172 of Surah Baqarah of the Noble Quran. This ayah speaks about eating pure bounties and thankfulness towards Allah, the creator of all bounties. Stay tuned, please. Ramadan is an endless bounty which we are obligated to thank God for it. To be thankful of Allah for this great bounty, we should get proper recognition of it. It has been narrated from the Prophet that should the faithful know the merit and greatness of the blessed month of Ramadan, they would wish the whole year were Ramadan. Prophet Muhammad also said that Ramadan is the month in which we are invited to Allah's banquet. Let us think over this statement. Aren't we using Allah's bounties every moment? Aren't we Allah's guest throughout our life? Is it not Allah who has created the entire universe? So, the blessed month of Ramadan should be a very special period, and God has invited us to a very special banquet. According to the Prophet, we are the guests of Allah, but it is quite clear that not everybody deserves to enter the banquet to be Allah's guest. He who steps in this divine banquet tries to provide the grounds for gaining the divine bounties and gifts. Therefore, this great bounty has to be thanked greatly. The Messenger of Mercy, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, says, had you known what is there for you in the month of Ramadan, you would have increased thanksgiving to Allah. The Noble Quran has recommended the faithful in many ayahs to benefit from the divine bounties while emphasizing on thanksgiving to Allah. Real thanksgiving is to be a submissive servant for God. As it was said today, we are going to touch upon Ayah 172 of Surah Baqarah, which reads, O you who have faith, eat of the good things we have provided you, and thank Allah if it is Him that you worship. Human beings should be in remembrance of God from the moment that He wakes up till night and thank God for the bounties He benefits on that day. Imam Ali, peace upon him, says in Sermon 193 of Nahjul Balagha, while describing a God-weary person, he starts his night with thanksgiving and his morning with remembrance of Allah. God has mentioned the properties of the faithful in many parts of the Quran. Forgetting of these properties will deal a fatal blow to the faithful and their society. Ingratitude and neglecting of bounties are what Satan suggests and tempts. When God expelled Satan from paradise, he saw that he would sit on the way of humans till the day of judgment and would tempt them for their front, behind, right, and left. But Allah told him that he would be given respite till a specific time, which according to some exegetes of the Noble Quran, is the day of uprising of the Savior of mankind, Imam Mahdi. May God hasten his reappearance. Now, the point to note here is that Satan swore to Allah that Allah would not fund most of human beings thankful. Ayahs 5 and 6 of Surah Ibrahim of the Noble Quran also read, uncertainly we sent Moses with our signs. Bring your people out from darkness into light and remind them of Allah's days. There are indeed signs in that for every patient and grateful. And when Moses said to his people, remember Allah's blessing upon you when He delivered you from Pharaoh's clan, who inflicted a terrible torment on you and slaughtered your sons and spared your women, and in that, there was a great test from your Lord. It is noteworthy that it is only the insightful people who taste the sweetness of thanksgiving. There are those who have not caused their soul and mind to sleep. Some people enjoy bounties, but they are not satisfied and happy. As it is often said, they see only the empty half of the glass. they have a negative look at the world and events. Most of us are heedful of health only in the time of disease. When there is drought, we complain and are concerned. If we are told that we are healthy, we say, so what? It is natural. When we have ample rainfall and snowfall in winter, we say, so what? It is natural. Winter is the season of rain and snow. The point is to be thankful all the time. Instead of saying that it is natural, we should say, thank Allah. One way for thanksgiving is to enlist our bounties. Enlisting and mentioning of bounties will give us a good feeling and help us pass behind crises in life. God says in Ayah 26 of Surah Anfal, and remember when you were few, abased in the land, and feared lest the people should despoil you, and he gave you refuge, and strengthened you with his help, and provided you with all the good things, so that you may give thanks. God also says in part of Ayah 7 of Surah Ibrahim, if you are grateful, I will surely enhance you. This is a divine promise, and Allah will never break His promise. We Iranians have felt this promise several times. 40 years ago, we were in war with Iraq, which was supported by at least 45 countries, led by the US. In those days, we were not able to make even a hand grenade. This, while today, the Islamic Republic of Iran is the 9th country which is able to make satellite and launcher. In the present Iranian year, we have sent 3 satellites to the orbit with a satellite carrier indigenously manufactured by Iranian scientists and experts. One of the senior managers in the field says, Iran was the 43rd country among the club of satellite owners. We started our activities with India, but with the meddling of the Zionist regime, the cooperation failed and India left. Then we cooperated with Russia. It was a cooperation full of humility. At this time, when we wished to only see a satellite closely, Russians showed the satellite model from a distance of a few meters, fearing that we might find out the fabric and the structure of their satellite. If we ask Russians as when we would be able to make satellites, we would hear the answer, you won't be able to make it within the next 35 years. And even if you make it, you will not be able to launch it yourselves. And we will not launch it for you under any circumstances. Yet we did it. We ourselves both made the satellite and launched it. I remember that after launching, the first ones to call and congratulate were the Russians. While their tone had changed with us and there was no trace of humiliation. Dear listeners, space know-how was not the only arena in which we Iranians saw the materialization of Allah's promise. Before the Islamic Revolution, Iran had no position among the highly cited articles in the world and was not even among the 50 nations in knowledge production. Today, however, the Islamic Republic of Iran ranks 15th in knowledge production. As for security too, Iran is the most secure country in West Asia and one of the most secure ones in the world. As in the field of production missiles, drones and various types of weapons and ammunitions. Also, Iran is considered an advanced country. The last but not the least, the Islamic Republic is a pioneer in the region and an important country in the fields of nanotechnology, medicine, biotechnology, nuclear sciences, renewable energies, stem cells, and so on. These have all been achieved through thanksgiving to God, the source of all bounties and blessings. We'll be right back.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
Black and white.
Faced with a general economic, social, and criminal crisis, is Ecuador on its way to overcome them or simply failing in the attempt, and even ending as a failed state?
Simplemente a fracasar en el intento e incluso quedar como un estado fallido. Hoy día, el gobierno de Daniel Noboa.
Today, Daniel Noboa's government has undertaken a war against crime.
A la cual acusa de ser terrorista.
He calls criminals of terrorism and cleverly tries to assimilate or present it as the same as the resistance of social movements.
La resistencia de los movimientos sociales. En Ecuador hoy día.
In Ecuador today, a country of almost 18 million inhabitants, we have 5 million inhabitants who live with only $3 a day and almost 3 million who live on $1.50 a day. And 66% of jobs are informal.
66% de los empleos son informales.
That is the reality of Ecuador. In the midst of this war on crime, Noboa has unleashed a number of privatization actions, for example, in electricity, raising the prices for the population.
Noboa, in esta guerra contra la delincuencia, ha condonado la deuda.
Noboa, in this war against crime, has forgiven the debt of large economic groups, and yet he has raised or proposed the raising VAT by 3 points at this moment. That will rise to 15%, which is a lot in a country with a dollarized policy.
La guerra a la delincuencia ha traído.
The war on crime has brought his friends from the leadership of the Southern Command, headed by Laura Richardson, to organize the country. The North Americans are there, because today they enter Ecuador without any inspection of their documents, or what they bring. In any case, when they leave, they're not inspected either. That's the agreement they reached. The police and soldiers who arrive in Ecuador, according to what they have agreed, will not have to give any account to the Ecuadorian authorities, even if they commit the most cruel crimes.
Aunque cometan delitos de los más crueles, ninguno.
And they can walk freely in the country. That's the reality.
Esa es la realidad.
The weapons of Russian origin that were in Ecuador, What do you think about that? Noboa passed him under the Pentagon. That happened also to those of Chinese origin. All are to be sent to Ukraine. A Ukrainian plane belonging to Zelensky landed a few days ago in Quito.
Un avión ucraniano de Zelensky aterrizó hace pocos días en Quito. De cualquier manera,
in any case, sovereignty, independence, and social rights today have blatantly receded in Ecuador.
En forma descarada en Ecuador.
Ecuador is stopping to be a country and is becoming a factory. The problem for us, the Latin Americans, is that the United States is planning for the rest of our continent. This is Black and White. I'm Eduardo Artes.
Eduardo Artes. Bien, hoy estamos con...
Well, today we're with Irene Leon from Ecuador, Ecuadorian sociologist, political analyst, and member of the World Social Forum, WFS, since its inception in 2021. Also a member of the Social Forum of the Americas and the Network of Intellectuals, Artists, and Social Movements in Defense of Humanity. Welcome to Black and White.
Bienvenida a Negro y Blanco.
Hello, I'm very happy to be with you in this program, and at this time, I'm at your service.
Irene, ¿qué pasa en Ecuador?
Irene, what is going on in Ecuador? What is the story of criminals and drug traffickers? Is there a power struggle in Ecuador? They attacked a television channel. The same thing is said about the social groups. In many cases, social organizations are accused of terrorism. The topic of conversation is not drug traffickers, but terrorists. What is the foundation of these issues? What is really going on in Ecuador?
Well, I think the key to this is the condition that Ecuador is in. Since more than 6 years ago, there was a promise of change in Ecuador, change and transformation of the country with a governance and project definition for the country and based on different dimensions of such issues. Ecuador wanted to implement socialism and good life, which has the support of the Constitution. Our Constitution is considered one of the most advanced constitutions in the world. Ecuador was once the second country in Latin America and the Caribbean, but since 6 years ago, the country has plunged into what I call a neoliberal coup. In other words, an attempt to restore neoliberalism to the country at any cost. Since then, our country has been grappling with legal war, political persecution, and judicial and media imposition based on some scenarios. In the end, all this case creates an environment in which politics, definition of the country, and country management within the framework of the provisions of the Constitution remain only in words and on paper. Therefore, in the same period of time, with the opening of the markets and the governance of the country, various centers of illegal capital have been established in the country to provide the basis for neoliberal actions. The main focus is close to financial capital because Ecuador is a dollarized country. Ecuador lost its national currency more than 20 years ago, and the US dollar prevailed through Ecuador. Therefore, these conditions have prepared the ground for various money laundering operations and unauthorized transactions. In these transactions, financial capital is transferred. Therefore, this financial flow is related to illegal businesses and is known as financial capital bank. It's very important that a turnaround has taken place in Ecuador and is taking place. In addition to illegal capital, there is the export sector, which is also very important, as well as the international trade sector, where there is also a possibility that illegal capital circulates in these sectors. Also, there are sections related to human trafficking and other trafficking, including drug trafficking. Therefore, I say all these issues to explain that this problem that exists is caused by the structural orientations of the country and the region. In this problem, the proceeds of these businesses, which are considered illegitimate, go into neoliberal and free market activities, where different actors and sectors interact with each other, as I mentioned. As a part of these activities and shrinking the government, which is a part of neoliberalism, in Ecuador we see the transfer of power to powerful institutions, factual powers, that I mentioned. So all the trends that we're talking about, including attacks, drug trafficking, and a certain kind of violence that is seen, are caused by the opening of the market doors in Ecuador, the de-governance in the country, and the return of neoliberalism against the Good Life Constitution in Ecuador. The constitution, contrary to this trend, defines Ecuador as a country with a multi-sector and diverse economy, whose production is also multi-sector and diverse. Ecuador plays a pivotal role in the structure of regional integration in Latin America and South America.
Yes,
that's correct. We're going to take a short break. I think it became very clear that the root of this problem is the neoliberal system. We'll be back in a few seconds. We're back with Irene Leon from Ecuador in Black and White. Irene, so far we feel that the actions taken by the young Noboa government are a clear abuse of the true crime situation. You have explained this situation very well, how this situation is connected with large economic groups. Let's be frank that the goal of Noboa is to drag the country into the mouth of American imperialism, that is, to bring the American military and announcing it.
Porque la llegada de las tropas norteamericanas o los anuncios de las mismas.
How should be described the presence of Laura Richardson? What do these agreements mean? 124 projects are planned for this year, and it's supposed to last for 5 years.
24 actividades ya planificadas y van a estar 5 años. ¿No? ¿Cómo se fortalece la presencia militar, policial?
How will these actions strengthen the U.S. military and police presence? In addition to the Manta base issue and the Galapagos becoming some kind of natural aircraft carrier, it seems they're taking advantage of this economic crisis, a crisis of crime, economics, privatization, increased VAT, etc. What else is in this?
Económica, privatizaciones, subida del IVA, etc. No hay algo más en esto.
I think you touched on one of the central issues that is happening in Ecuador. We're not alone in our own country, and part of what is happening is due to differences regarding the country's model and orientation at the domestic level, which is related to the international geopolitical environment. But the United States is a very important player that has a geostrategic agenda for the region as well, for Latin America. In this framework, Ecuador has its own interests due to its geopolitical position and being located in the middle of the globe and benefiting from preferred ports in the Pacific Ocean due to several factors. And in addition, it is considered a key country for the new geostrategic arrangement and the hemisphere proposed by the United States. Therefore, the changes that have been taking place in Ecuador since 6 years ago, as I mentioned earlier, have a close relationship with the alignment of foreign policy with U.S. strategy and geostrategy. There are several examples in recent years. For example, the U.S. Senate approved the law related to the government of Ecuador, which is called the Cooperation Act between the United States and Ecuador. a law to rule another country? The United States passed a law for Ecuador that covers all areas of life in our country, not only international relations, but also geopolitical order, security, defense, political management, and others. This is an important precedent. This law was passed in December 2022. Then during this process, we saw a diplomatic, or as you said, a military offensive, Southern Command. And what happened a few days ago in Ecuador are examples of this. Therefore, here we see the deployment of military force, which is against the Constitution. Because the Constitution has introduced Ecuador as a country of peace without the presence of military bases and military aggression, especially foreign bases. Even in national definitions, the culture of peace is emphasized. Now, in such a country, a very detailed military cooperation agreement is signed. With the military agreement between the United States and Ecuador in October, there is no more talk of one, two, or three military bases. It's about handing the country over to intelligence operations and diplomatic exercises. In this agreement, it's guaranteed that all operations, personnel, intelligence services, etc., will have diplomatic immunity and will be subject to American laws, despite the fact that they're in Ecuador. It is difficult for me to explain this issue because it is both in the approved law, which we mention as an unprecedented case, that a law is approved in the United States to govern Ecuador, and in the military agreements, because this is not the first agreement. It is said that they're conducting an experiment of a new type of American protectorate, which bypasses the country's laws, constitution, and international agreement in this model in order to direct the country to another destination and another role, which is within the framework of foreign geostrategic design. So that's the path that Ecuador is on. And without a doubt, our recent experience as a country has been a lifetime of chaos. We have the numerous moments of unprecedented, unexpected, and even most unjustified chaos, followed by offers of security. In other words, leaving national sovereignty and becoming a client of private commercial packages of security models like what we currently have in Ecuador. Therefore, what we are witnessing is clearly our concern, because our country, which is defined on the basis of sovereignty, is becoming a protectorate. This is worrying. Another worrying issue is that the country has gone as far as declaring a civil war. That is what the president of Ecuador has announced. He has the military support of the Southern Command, the regime of Israel, and the government of Ukraine. He received a military plane from this country, which is an American aid received this week. This is an international invasion against a Latin American country that includes a declaration by CELAC, Community of Latin American and Caribbean States, which declares the region a land of peace. They brought the country into an unexpected military situation. In fact, numerous riot and violence tactics have been implemented in Ecuador with the aim of offering settlement packages to it.
Aplicaciones de tácticas de violencia y de caos para luego ofrecer también paquetes de solución.
Así es, para ir acercándonos ya al final.
Yes, that's right. What has been the reaction of the Ecuadorian people, the people who have established various movements? Where is the Confederation of Indigenous Nationalities of Ecuador? What about the Federation of Secondary Students of Ecuador? What about the Federation of Students, Trade Unions, National Union of Teachers? I mean, we have witnessed large demonstrations since the past. What happened to the democratic forces or patriotic forces? In such a difficult situation for Ecuador, what are the conditions of these groups? This could be a bad example, as you explained, and a path that they set for all of Latin America.
Yes, that's right. I believe that these techniques of developing chaos and intimidation of people, especially in the case of Ecuador, which until recently was known as the axis of peace in the region, will lead people to an unexpected reaction. For example, the fear that is instilled through really effective media work, against these threats has an impact on ordinary people and on the economy and on all aspects of life. And without a doubt, it cannot be denied that the people of Ecuador are intimidated. For example, since the declaration of civil war under the heading of terrorism, which targets the smallest common criminal and the biggest leader of drug trafficking, there's been confusion in the country, and people want these issues to be resolved so that they can act more freely. When the country stopped due to the declaration of this war, we're facing unusual conditions in all fields, and it is clear that society has many questions. Not only experts, but also common sense says that, for the problems that exist in Ecuador, maybe it was possible to solve them with techniques focused on the same issues. Issues such as violent and dangerous acts. It would have been better if we had not declared war across the border and asked for help from the Southern Command and other actors, such as the extreme right-wing government of Argentina, to solve the country's problem. With these talks, the popular and social movement, which is very diverse in our country, was worried and expressed dissatisfaction with the current situation and asked for an explanation. The network of intellectuals defending humanity, the Confederation of Indigenous Nationalities of Ecuador, and other institutions have expressed concerns about these conditions, especially because of these declared war conditions. Democratic capabilities are limited.
Time is cruel. For this reason, we say goodbye to Irene Leon, who has an excellent and very powerful presence. Thank you, Irene Leon. This is Black and White.
I should always thank the Black and White program. Thank you. See you soon.
Hasta pronto.
See you soon.
In the limelight.
Palestinians abducted by Israeli regime forces since the start of the war are